You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we are continuing with our weekly shiur on the Zohar HaKadosh, and we're looking at Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, Parshas Metzora. And in spite of the fact that we're not going to have a Zohar shiur on Pesach, what we're going to try and do is uncover a thread of significance that is mekusher between the Parsha that we find ourselves in, the Metzora, as well as the Chag of Pesach. And to proceed, what we're going to understand is that Pesach is the representation of the process of redemption that comes about through exile itself. It is not the negation of exile. It is not ignoring the fact that exile took place. It's not pretending to see a world where exile is a non-reality, but rather it is the keen and acute awareness of the fact that in order for me to find redemption in this world, I must first and foremost move through and beyond with a new orientation and a new narrative structure the experiences of exile. And it's specifically from those places in exile, the exile of the self and the exile of the klal, that we're going to be able to uncover the secret beginning and the secret murmuring of redemption that begins from within exile itself. This is Matchil B'gnusim Masayim B'shvach. The Sheil of Achuva of Leil Pesach is ultimately the recognition that Geula is a two-step process that by definition must include the stage of exile, not as some preparatory stage that is going to be cast away, but rather as a fundamental element of the expression, which always takes place by way of a doubled expression, that it's chesed and gevura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself through the kav and through the tzimtzum, through the galus and the geula. And for human beings who operate in a place of splitness until the coming of redemption, where our splitness goes back to a place of unity, revealing an even higher level of splitness, because the splitness will always be there, because kedushasi l'mal mikdushaseichem, and achas dibur aleichem shtayim zu shamati, Hashem spoke once and I heard twice. Nevertheless, it is not a negative symptom of human experience that we have to work back from the splitness of something back to the unity, so that we have to operate with galus and geula in order to properly understand the secret of geula. But this is the gift of what it means to be human, because it's the pishnayim, it's the doubled portion that we have as a human being. Malachim, celestial elements, they have a koyach of living only in geula. There's no concept of galus whatsoever. Specifically, Klal Yisrael has the capacity of going down into exile and then surviving that, taking the gifts from exile and transforming exile itself into the baseline and the basis of Gan Eden. This is the secret of the dual step process of being a human being, to be maschil be gnus u'masayim b'shvach, to realize how the gnus and the shvach are two elements of the same exact thing. And ultimately, it's from that place that we're going to be male all of the chitzonius, all of the smallness, all of the concealment, and bring it back up to the place of refinement and keser, to be megala, the doubled secret of unity that emerges from within concealment itself. This could be one of the reasons that when the Zohar HaKadosh is describing the power of the night of the Seder, what happens is that all of the malachim, all of the celestial forces, all of those elements of refinement that have no capacity to grasp struggle, they come down to listen to the beautiful song and the beautiful sha'ashuim that emerge and the blinding light that emerges from the Gilui Shechina on the night of the Seder. Why? Because the night of the Seder, we could say, is a novelty completely for the Malachim, because the Malachim have no capacity to understand Galus and Geula. It's only human beings who have the opportunity to understand Galus and Geula. And even if a Malach did experience Galus and Geula, it would see the Galus process as a fundamental symptom that needs to be gotten rid of, and it would not understand the secret of human beings, which knows that we need both. We need to move from the Galus into the Geula. And that's what we're going to see in the Chag of Pesach. And again, seeing how Galus itself meets Geula, there is a point, and this is an important point for what we're going to see in the Zohar Kaddish right now. There is a spectrum of Galus and Geula, but there is going to be a point in Emtsai, a borderline, that shares territory with Galus and with Geula. It's the in-between, it's the Bein Hashmashos, it's between Geula and Galus. There's always going to be a moment, a rega, even if it's going to be Behesach Hadas, even if it's going to be quick, there will always be some element of durational separation between exile and redemption. And in that moment of the end of exile, which begins to become in and of itself the beginning of redemption, a time that is not time, an amount of experience, a place of experience within the self that can't quite decide whether it's in a state of redemption or a state of exile, that non-place that seems to be a combination of the two of them, that irbuvia, that Eitz Hadas of Tovara, it's specifically at that limit point of the emsai between Gullis and Geula, between Gehenna and Gan Eden, that a person is going to begin to uncover the intimations and the echoes of Geula prior to its emergence. This is the secret of Ikfas of the Mashiach. This is the secret of the ability to taste personal redemption, even though collective redemption has not yet arrived, because it's specifically at the end of concealment, at the end of exile, even though we're not quite at the collective redemption yet, a person does now have the capacity to encounter the taste of personal redemption because exile is ending. And as exile is ending, what begins to open up is the process of Geula. And in that place of where Geula is opening itself up and Gullus is falling down slowly but surely, a person has the ability to taste a new taste of freedom, which is the ability to see oneself as if they're leaving Mitzrayim, to live in a light of redemption in spite of the fact that they're still exiled, to live in a light of refinement and rachamim in spite of the fact that there's concealment and there's severity. And this is what we're going to see in the Zohar HaKadosh. Pasach Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar opens up his mouth and he says, Ve'amar, Ve'yakov halach ledarchav. And Yaakov went along his path. After Yaakov leaves the house of Lavan, and again, the entire Seder of the Haggadah is rooted in this emergence of Yaakov out of Lavan, because this is the first place that we see the full picture of a Geula that comes out of Galutz itself, because without the descent into the house of Lavan, into that place of lies and trickery, Yaakov Avinu would have never learned the secret of V'yakoveni. He would have never learned the secret of Sheker Doiver V'Kesef Notel, to recognize that the only truth in this world is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that everything else is an element of Sheker. And just as he learned in the house of Lavan, and in Lavan Garti, in that place of love, and I was able to keep all of the mitzvos within that sheker, I was able to find the nekuda of the emes la'amiso that reveals that the sheker itself is a sheker elyon that's megala the fact that all that is real is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that place of the luban ha'elyon, in the illumination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinitude, which reveals how Gullis and Geula are part and parcel of one another in the deepest type of way. So in that place, the Zohar HaKadosh is going to try and understand what it means that Yaakov went along his path. And the entire Seder Haggadah, like we said, is going to be Arami Ovid Avi, because this paradigmatic place of redemption that emerges out of exile with Yaakov and Lavan, where we take Rachel and Leah, where we take the train Nukvin of Klal Yisrael, we take Bina and Malchus, we take concealment and revelation from that place. So that process of Yaakov leaving Lavan is also going to become the bedrock, the seed, in which we begin to understand the secret of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the Gullus is not looked at as something that is completely negative and completely destructive, but rather it's seen as something that can be elevated, and all of the positive elements will now be the engine that drives the process of Geula. And it's for that reason that there's an orientation to Aramid Ovid Avi, this process of Yaakov Avinu and Lavan in the Haggadah itself. And that's why we're going to see it in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Metzora, which is Shabbos HaGadol. V'Yaakov halach l'darko, and Yaakov went on his way, v'yifgu bo malachai Elohim. And there were angels of God, celestial forces, spiritual forces, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, encountered him. V'Yaakov halach l'darko, what does it mean that Yaakov went along his way? D'havei azil l'kabe avohi. That Yaakov was leaving, he was going back to receive the light of his fathers. He was leaving the house of Lavan, he was going to receive the chesed and the gevura. Yaakov Avinu is rachamim. Yaakov Avinu is the balance between oppositional traits, which in the space of Avram, which is expressivity and redemption, and in the space of Yitzchak, which is severity and concealment, the two appear to be in polar opposition to one another. And it's only through the light of Yaakov Avinu, whose Bechir Sheba Avos is the Kav HaEmsoi, which is in truth simply the collection of the Kav HaYamin and the Kav Smol, Avram and Yitzchak, and the allowance of them to engage with each other by way of differential power, where one engages with the other and one is forced to resist the other and express itself even more. And out of that impossible balance of the two opposites that unify together, revealing a potency that is greater than what they could have possibly expressed on their own, is going to be the light of Yaakov. That's the light of Tiferes. That's the beauty of paradox that emerges out of the collision between openness and closeness, between redemption and exile. And so where Yaakov was going after this place of love and was going to meet Avram and Yitzchak, to see those two midos of chesed and gevura that compose the midah of Teferis, the midah of Yaakov Avinu. Tochazi, come and see. Kol zimna di Yaakov ishtachich lagabe de lovan loymoyol el imei kudsh berichu. Lo ishtachich lagabe. The entire time that Yaakov Avinu was in the house of love and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to him, nor was HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed in a clarified way to him. And so we see, if we're looking at the house of Lavan as exile, in the time of exile, there's no capacity for a person to have a panim al panim. There's no possibility for a person to encounter the thing itself, kavyachol. And so therefore, it seems that we'll never be able to connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the house of Lavan, from the place of exile. Hashem removed himself, kavyachol, from Yaakov in that time. V'itema, and if you want to ask, v'haksiv, but the pasuk says v'yamar Hashem el Yaakov shuv el eretz avoseichu l'madu desecho. And if you want to say that Yaakov Avinu did receive message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the house of Lavan, which was returned now to the house of your fathers, returned now to the place of your birth. So we see that Yaakov was spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a stira. On the one hand, Hashem never spoke to Lavan in exile. Hashem never spoke to Yaakov in the exile of Lavan. And he only spoke to him in a state of redemption. But we see that at the end of exile, at the end of the house of Lavan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yaakov and tells him to leave. So Zok Zayar HaKadosh Hai B'Soifa Havei B'Zimna Deba'a L'Isparsha Mi Lavan. That was at the end of the time of Lavan, and it was at the time where he began to detach himself from Lavan. Bekadesh parish minei asu lekabli ina malachim, and it's at that place that when he separated himself from Lavan, that these malachim came to greet him. So the Zohar HaKadosh is saying something fundamental in the frame of what we described before. Very often we see exile, which is the house of Lavan, as something separate and apart from geula, which is the removal from the house of Lavan. And therefore, we can see this qualification that in the house of Lavan, there's absolutely no contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no possibility of the redemption of the mind, of the heart, of the body, and all of its elements with all of its smallness and all of its greatness. And that's only going to be in the time of Geula that the Zohar HaKadosh is going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yaakov Avinu. But we see in the Metzias is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to speak to Yaakov even before he left the house of Lavan. Towards the end of his time in the house of Lavan, Zok HaZohar HaKadosh, that was the beginning of the end, and therefore it's the end of the beginning, and it's going to be the process that leads to the next stage. And therefore, even though he's still in the house of Lavan and still in exile, and redemption is not yet here, because it's the end of exile, and because the intimations of redemption are afoot at this point, so Yaakov Avinu was capable of entering into a place of Geula where it was as if he was out of the house of Lavan, even though theoretically he was still in the house of Lavan. And in that thinned out place of recognizing that the exilic sheaths that cover us over are not nearly as thick as we imagine them to be, and that there's porous boundaries to them, and that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu infiltrates at every moment, the nisim and the flows continue to experience in our momentary day-to-day existence. So the thickness of exile begins to soften, and a person begins, like Yaakov Avinu at the house of Lavan at the end of the exile, to encounter the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zohar HaKadosh now understands that there's two types of experiences. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Yaakov Avinu outside of exile, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Yaakov within exile, within the house of Lavan itself, within that place of Mitzrayim, within that Arami Ovid Avi, prior to redemption itself. And in that place, prior to redemption, there are intimations of redemption which shift the rules and the regulations. In this place now, where it's prior to redemption, it's not considered absolute exile, and therefore a person can encounter the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that at the edge of the exilic experience, in all of the chametz, in all of the stuckness, we can still begin to taste the true redemption. And as the Rambam says, that each and every person has to see to it as if they're leaving Mitzrayim, it becomes less and less as if, because we begin to allow the as if in our lives more and more. As if the inauthenticity of seeing ourselves as redeemed seems to be lodged in the fact that if I'm really redeemed, I should really feel redeemed. Then why am I seeing it only as if I'm redeemed? But the more and more we accept that the as ifness, the ke'ilu, is simply a symptom of the current moment, which is prior to redemption, yet after exile, in the space between the two of them, as exile begins to thin itself out, but prior to the opening of all possibility in our minds. So it's still ki'ilu, and it's still as if. And the more we accept that as ifness, the more we accept the fact that we're operating in an in-between place of redemption prior to redemption and exile after the death of exile, when exile is clearly thinning itself out to the degree that we can anticipate big things and we can anticipate redemption. So in that place, we learn to accept the ki'ilu. We learn to accept the inauthenticity of it, because I'm still not out of the house of Lavan. I'm still not out of the house of Lavan, but I'm not stuck in the house of Lavan either. And in this place, I enter into that place of Ki'ilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. And there will always be an element of Ki'ilu, because everything is always going to be an element of Ki'ilu, but we're going to refine the levels of Ki'ilu so that we consider inauthentic right now will become a place that we grow to authenticity, but our assumption of authenticity today will be revealed to have been inauthentic in relationship to the authenticity that exists in the next day, because the human being is perpetually in a state of tshuva, tshuva ala tshuva, refining the self over and over. And this is why we're going to be Maaseh Yetzias Mitzrayim La'aseh Lavo as well, Bayamim Ubalelos, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, that it's specifically this secret of Mitzrayim and the transition from some state of exile into redemption that is going to be fundamental, because there's always going to have to appear to be a split between the Tzimtzum and the Kav, Avram and Yitzchak, Gvura and Chasadim, in order for there to be the unification of Yaakov, which is a secret of redemption that emerges in the darkness of night from within the belly of exile itself, from within the house of Lavan. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, so in that place, we're able to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could speak directly to Yaakov. And when Yaakov Avinu began to separate himself, when Yaakov Avinu began to separate himself from that place, the Malachim came and they started to join him. Tachazi, come and see, ksiv v'yifkubo. It says that they encountered him. V'yifka b'malacha Eloyim ibayle. It should say that Yaakov Avinu encountered the Malachim, not that the Malachim encountered Yaakov. My bo, what does it mean that they found expression within Yaakov itself? It's no longer a relationship between the Malachim, but rather it's the Malachim within Yaakov. El inhu asul echlalebe. These malachim, these two forces came to unify themselves within Yaakov Avinu. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, which always existed in potentia within Yaakov, are now being fully revealed. V'yifku b'malachei Elohim ibayilei. It should say he encountered malachei Elohim. My bo, what does it mean? They came to unify with him. Mail is klalabe. What do they want with him? Ele inun misitra degvura ka'asin dechsiv malachei Elohim v'chama misitra achra malachei rachmin v'echlalu be'rachme v'dina. But rather, what Yaakov Avinu encountered, why does it say Malachim plural? Because what Yaakov encountered was that dual nature of things, the Chesed and the Rachamim, the Din and the Chesed, the Avram and Yitzchak, the two tzaddim. There was one side of Malachim that represented Tzimtzum and one side of Malachim that represented clarification and revelation. There was one side of the Malachim that represented Gullus and one side of the Malachim that represented exile. And it's the unification between the two of them to find redemption within exile itself is what will give us the capacity to get to the next step of experiencing absolute redemption itself, which is the light of Yaakov Avinu. Tachazi, come and see, b'kadmisa machane Elohim zachat. In the beginning, it says this is a camp of Malachim, which is a singular camp. Trey. And in the end, it says a plural language of Machanayim, two camps. One from the left and one from the right. One from Avram and one from Yitzchak. Two elements, Golus and Geula. They found expression within Yaakov itself. What's Ra'am? What does it mean that he saw them? It should say he had a vision. Rather, he saw the two of them connecting together, unifying themselves together. And all of them came to purify him from that place of Esav. Esav was the singularity of one side, only exile, only exile. And then if you leave exile, you're in a place of Geula. The two are separate spectrums. Esav operates in that singularity place, in that place of only one side, and every other side that comes is antagonistic to my side. Yaakov Avinu's Mida is the klilus of all of the tzaddim. The recognition of Gullus and Geula are the trei ksuvim hamachishim zet zet, these two psukim that are seemingly in contradistinction one to one another, but they reveal a third pillar that emerges out of both of them, which gives us the secret of Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, of Arami Ovid Avi, of drawing the struggle into the light of unification itself, so that unification is renewed each and every moment with the memory of the struggle. This will not always be a possibility for a person. Yes, there will always be an element of struggle inherent within the process towards Elokus, because it's always Kedushas Ilamala Mikdushas Eichem. But one of the benefits of exile is that the deeper the sting to one degree or another, the bitterer the maror, the more intensified the process of running directly into the freedom is. And again, that is a mindset that can be cultivated from even the slightest deviation from the way things are supposed to be. One need not experience maror, but one often finds themselves in a place of maror lagamrei, where the world appears sometimes to be a place of maror, a maror factory that is a place of misa, that's a place of difficulty, that's a place of exile. And it's specifically from that place that we come to the place of almatzos umararim yachluhu, the secret of Korech, which is the secret of unifying the maror and the matzah together, and the secret of Yaakov, of drawing together the light of exile and redemption, and acting as kings even though we know we're impoverished. And remembering that we're impoverished, even though we know that we're kings. And then we can enter into that place of Kan HaBen Shoel, of operating in the place of the bed, of the Ben, of the son who only operates in a place of redemption. But at the same point, always remembering Avadim Hayinu, which is the secret of being the servant, the opposite of a Ben. As Rabbi Nachman explains, as the Rebbe Rashab explains in Hemshech Samach Vav, so deeply the Rebbe Shlita points out that the entire purpose of Samach Vav is to come to teach this Nekuda of being a Ben that's Nishapich into an Eved. Of Kan HaBen Shoel, and the answer is Avadim Hayinu. There's a Ben and there's an Eved. The secret is that we start off as an Eved in Mitzrayim, and then we come into the state of being a Ben in the secret of redemption, and then we come to the deeper recognition of that it's better to be a son who chooses to act like a slave, a Ben who's Nehapich to Eved, because even though we have the right to try and understand, we have no capacity of understanding whatsoever, and we have to choose to ultimately accept things with the simplicity of an Eved, in spite of the fact that we have the complexity of a Ben, in that place of the unification of Gullus and Geula together, which is just a momentary stop along the way until we get to absolute Geula, which comes Behesach Hadas, which comes when we open up up the door, and Shvoicha Mascha Lagoyim, and all of the elements of redemption and Mashiach that are afoot in the night of the Seder, in the Leil HaSeder, which is drawing down the Seder into the Shaloka Seder, and revealing the Shaloka Seder within the Seder to be Megalazayin in the Oros of Mashiach, and the various unifications of Chachma and Bina that are perpetually taking place. Everything ultimately is reduced down to the quintessential abstraction of what it's all about, is the encounter between Chochma and Bina, between the right and the left, between the clarity and the disclarity, between the Menucha and the Yegiyah, and ultimately coming to a place of the unification of the two of them, and coming to taste redemption within exile itself, to reveal the path towards absolute redemption that exists within exile, Be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.